Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel and his friends, they had been taken into captivity into Babylon. They had been brought out of the land of Judah, and they have been brought into a strange kingdom. They're captives. And while they're there, the king begins to go throughout all of these captive Israeli children and pick out the best of all of them. He wanted to find the ones who seemed to be intelligent, the ones who had special skills, the ones who had special abilities. The devil always wants the best. He always wants the best. Now, he'll mock. This world will mock the way that we train kids. They'll mock a youth camp like this that tells you to dress right and make decisions and all that kind of, they'll mock that, but they love our result. They love the exceptional young person that grows up with a heart for God. And so the king begins to bring all of these young people in, and he wants to change them. He wants them to be more like the Babylonian culture. So he changes their identity. He changes their names. And by the way, that's another tactic of the devil, is he wants to change your identity, who you are in Christ. And so they began to offer them all the things that the Babylonians would have. And that was things like wine and liquor and certain types of meat that were against their religion. And Daniel's, when he was offered that, he says, there's no way, I can't do that. I will not defile myself. The prince that was in charge of him said, hey, you've got to. The king has come. You've got to do this. He says, I tell you what, why don't you let me prove God to you? He said, I'll do a special fast. And after the end of this fast, we'll see who looks better, me and my friends or the world. And at the end of that fast, the Bible said they came out 10 times better. Now, you know what's awesome about Daniel? Daniel, even though he was a young man, even though he could have done anything that he wanted to do, he purposed in his heart that he's going to do right. Now, there's a lot of young people that they'll do right at youth camp, and they'll do right at church, and they'll do right in Christian school, but it's not because they're doing right out of their heart. They're doing right just because they've never been offered the opportunity to sin. They've never been alone long enough with their girlfriend. They've never been alone with friends and offered alcohol. They've never had the opportunity to do some of those things, but inside their heart, even though on the outside they look clean and godly and spiritual, inside their heart they've got their affections set on the wrong things. And the first time the opportunity comes along, you're going to go right into sin if you don't live by some principle. And we want to talk about that this morning. Let's bow for prayer and ask the Lord's help. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this chapel service. I pray that you'd bless us as we dig deeper into your word. Thank you for each and every young person in this room. I know you have something planned for their life, Lord, that's special and wonderful and much better than anything that this world could offer. I pray that you'd bless us today as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I remember as a young man hearing a preacher preach. And he made this statement, and it has stuck with me, and it has helped me all my life. He said, if any person in life is successful on any level, whether that be a successful preacher or a successful missionary or even in the secular world, a successful businessman or CEO, if you succeed at any level in life, it's because you have followed three words. You've lived by three important words. I want to talk about those with you this morning. All three of them begin with the letter P. And those words are purpose, potential, and principle. Let's say those three words together this morning. Can we do that? Ready? Purpose, potential, principle. Let's do it again. Purpose, potential, principle. You say, what does all that mean? Well, the Bible tells us that every one of us have been created. God made us for a purpose. You're not an accident with God. You're not an uh-oh with God. God didn't look down from heaven someday and discover you and say, hey, there's so-and-so. I wonder what I could do with them. I wonder if I could use them somehow. No. That's not how it happened. One day, God had something that he needed to be done, and he created you to fulfill that purpose. God made you for a very specific reason. You were not evolved. You're not a product of evolution. Our great-great-grandfather and grandmother were not monkeys, all right? We didn't come from a monkey swinging in a tree, and that monkey didn't come from a one-celled amoeba, from some primordial ooze millions and billions of years ago. No, you were fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God. So that, you know what that means? That means you're special. That means that all life is special. Is it any wonder why we have a culture right now that has no value for life? How can a man, seriously, folks, I don't care what kind of a religion you have, how can a human being, no matter what he believes, get into a semi-truck and drive that truck through a parade of people like that man did in Nice, France, and mow over men and women and little children, and left in the wake of that truck mangled bodies everywhere? How can somebody do that? How can somebody walk into a movie theater like the young man did in Colorado and just start shooting people? How can people walk around with an assault rifle like the man did in Dallas and begin to systematically shoot and kill police officers? I mean, men with families and wives and children. How can people be so heartless? I'll tell you how. Because we have a culture that has no value for life. You know why we don't have any value for life? It's not because of racism. It's not because of religion. It's because we have a society that has grown up with a mindset that there is no God. And if I just came from an animal, and if I just came from some wild beast, then what does it matter if we kill each other off, right? Animals do it all the time. Animals kill each other all the time. So what does it matter if we do it, if we're all just animals? What does it matter? We're just living out those basic animal instincts. Let me tell you something. That's nonsense. You were created by God. God made you. And when you understand that you were made for something, you know what it helps you have? It helps you to realize that life is precious, life is valuable, that every life matters, right? Didn't Jesus Christ teach us what lives mattered and what lives didn't matter? Sure he did. John 3:16 tells us what lives matter to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Your life matters to God, and your life matters to God. Everyone matters to God. You were made for a purpose. And that purpose is very special. God has a perfect will, a perfect plan for your life. Now, they say that no two snowflakes anywhere in the world are exactly alike. Now, that's hard to believe. I know you don't get much snow in Florida, and we don't get a whole lot of snow in Texas either. But I grew up in West Virginia, and it wasn't uncommon a few times during the winter to have a storm come through that dropped 2 and 3 feet of snow on us. And you'd walk outside of what once used to be creeks and ravines and all of these things. You'd walk out, and after a windy snowstorm, everything just kind of looked level. I remember one time walking through the woods. We'd been out sledding all day, and I'm walking along, and I didn't realize it, but I was coming up on a big ravine. I mean, we're talking like an 18-foot drop. And I'm walking through the woods, and it all just looked like level ground. And all of a sudden, whoo, man, I was gone. I had disappeared underneath that snow. Now, it's hard to believe when you see that much snow that no two snowflakes are exactly alike. But they say you can put them all under a microscope and you'll never find two that are identical. They say that no two leaves are exactly alike. Now, there's a lot of leaves outside, isn't there? Oak leaves and all kinds of different leaves. But you'll never find two that are exactly alike. They say that there's no two grains of sand that are exactly alike. Now, you go out to the beach. You go out to Pensacola, you go out to Daytona, you go out to the West Coast, out on Long Beach, and all of those places, and you see all that sand. It all looks the same to me. But you'll never find two that are exactly the same. You say, what in the world are you getting at this morning, Brother Randy? What I'm telling you is, if God never made two grains of sand exactly alike, two leaves exactly alike, two snowflakes exactly alike, he never made two people exactly alike either. God created you. You are a designer's model, and he has something special planned for your life. There is a purpose for why you were born. Now, I thank God that as a young man, God put a call to preach on my heart. I was called to preach as an 8-year-old boy. A lot of times after a week at junior camp, people will say, all those juniors, did those decisions really matter? Are they really lasting? Will they really last? What happens in the heart of a 6, 7, 8-year-old child? Well, it lasted in my life. That, let me tell you, that one decision that I made as a little boy has shaped my life ever since that day. All the decisions that I've made in life have been pointing me towards that purpose for my life. Now, your purpose may not be to be a preacher. It may not be to be a missionary. It may not be to be a Sunday school teacher at church or a Christian school teacher. But there is something that God has planned for your life, a purpose. And the sooner you find out what that purpose is, the more direction you have for where you're going. Now, have you ever noticed that some people are just naturally inclined with certain talents that not everybody has? All right, have you ever noticed that somebody's just musically inclined? Anybody in here play the piano by ear? Anybody? All right, we got a few. Isn't that amazing how some people can just sit down at the piano and just play? They don't have to read any music. My sister can do this. It's amazing. I mean, I remember as a little girl, she just started picking songs out, and man, she can just tear that piano up, and she don't even know how to read music. When me and my sister would get ready to sing, we'd hear a song, and man, she'd listen to that song 2 or 3 times. She'd say, oh, man, I think I got it. Let's sing it, and she'd start playing it. That's amazing to me. There's a young man at a church in Texas, and every year he's been learning new instruments, and he's just got this incredible talent. He can sit down and tear a piano up. He can play a banjo. He can play a guitar. He can play saxophone. He can play a violin. He can play all these instruments, harmonicas, all this kind of stuff. Isn't it amazing how some people are just naturally inclined towards certain ability? You ever notice that some people are mechanically inclined? I mean, there are some guys, they never go to vocational school. They're never taught, but you park your car in their driveway and they can drop your transmission, tear that thing apart, put it back together again, and actually make it work. They just naturally have that ability. How many of you know somebody that's just, man, he's a computer nerd? I mean, he's geeked out. And he can talk about TCP/IP settings and HTML code and all this kind of stuff all day long. And whenever you get two geeks together talking this way, you think, man, what planet did you guys come from? How do you even keep track of all of that stuff? They just naturally are inclined towards certain things. Some people are more compassionate than other people, aren't they? How many of you know somebody that they're just very giving? Maybe they're at your church, and they're just all the time doing something for somebody, giving to somebody. You see, the Bible says that we have all been born with certain spiritual gifts. When you got saved, God has given you certain spiritual gifts and certain natural talents. So you know what we've got to do? We've got to find a way to use the talents and the abilities that God has given us for the kingdom of God. So we have a purpose. That's point number one. God has a plan. God has a purpose for my life. Now, Daniel, he didn't realize it as a teenage boy when he went into captivity. He didn't realize it, but God had a purpose for his life. Daniel was going to grow up to be probably one of the greatest prophets that's ever lived on this earth. The prophecies of Daniel, many of them have already been fulfilled, and many of the prophecies that we're waiting for, that we're looking for right now, are unfolding, and they're all coming to pass just like Daniel said. Daniel had a purpose for his life. He couldn't have known it as a young person, just like Joseph couldn't have understood it. Whenever God began to give him those dreams and visions when he was 17 years old, oh man, he ended up having to go into slavery. He ended up having to go to a dungeon. But all of those things in his life, behind the scenes, was God helping him fulfill a greater purpose. So, number one, purpose. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What is God's plan for my life? These are things that you need to get people praying with you about. These are things you need to get counsel with your preacher about, your youth pastor about. What does God want me to do with my life? This is what Christian school will help you with. This is what Bible college will help you with. Where does God want me to go? How does God want me to serve? So everybody's got a purpose. So point number one, what's the first word? Purpose. Let's say it again. What is it? Purpose. So the second word is not only purpose. The second word is potential. Potential. First word is what? Purpose. Second word is what?
Potential.
Potential. So what is potential? Well, potential means that you are doing the best you can to fulfill the purpose for which God made you. You're supposed to find what God wants you to do, and you're supposed to do it with all your might. That's what the Bible says. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And that's how you ought to live your life, man. Full throttle. Whatever it is. If you get a hammer in your hand, you ought to be the best carpenter you can be. If you get a trowel in your hand, you ought to be the best brick mason that you can be. If you get a Bible in your hand, you ought to be the best preacher, the best Sunday school teacher, the best missionary that you can be. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Now, God forgives a lot of sins, but there's one sin, there's one type of sinner that I've never seen in the Bible where God really ever did anything with them. You know what it was? Oh, sure, I've seen God use people that committed adultery. I've seen God use somebody like Rahab the harlot. She actually became the great-great-grandmother of our Savior. I see people that God used that were murderers like Moses and Paul. And there's one person I never see where God does anything with in Scripture. You know who that is? That's a lazy person. Don't be lazy. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, with thy strength. So potential, potential. Everybody in the room has a certain potential to fulfill the purpose that God's given them. So what's the first word? Purpose. What's the second word?
Potential.
And what's the third word? Principle. Principle. All right, so let's put all this together. Let's put all this in perspective. What is principle? I mentioned it a minute ago before I started the message. Principle is that guardrail along the cliffs and along the roadways of life. Principles are the things that are going to keep you from destroying your life. Principle is the thing that keeps you from making bad decisions. Principle is the thing that keeps you from falling into sin. So let me illustrate it this way. Let me just say that my purpose for the day is to drive to Daytona. Not drive in Daytona, although that would be awesome, but drive to Daytona, okay? And let's just say that my potential for getting there would be my red Ford Expedition. It's not here, but let's just say, all right, in theory. My purpose is to go to where? Daytona. What's my potential for getting there? That red Expedition. It can get me there. It just got me all the way to West Virginia, all the way back to Texas, about 3,000 miles. So I got a lot of confidence in that old red Expedition to get the job done. So my purpose is to get in that car and drive to Daytona, but I get out on the road and I ignore every traffic law along the way. I run the red lights. I run through the stop signs. I ignore the speed limits. Man, I'm just out there doing whatever I want to do, driving as fast as I want to drive, not a care in the world to what any policeman has to say, what any traffic law has to say. And I get up to an intersection, and there's a red light, and I'm just going to run right through it because nobody's going to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I get through that intersection, and boom, I get hit by a dump truck. And I wake up about 3 months later from my coma in a hospital bed. My car looks like a pancake. Did I fulfill my purpose? No, I didn't. And guess what else I wasted? I wasted my potential, didn't I? You know why? What was the reason why I did not fulfill my purpose and wasted my potential? What did I do wrong? I did not live by what? I did not live by principle. Principle is the thing that will protect you throughout your life. It will protect you as you date, as you court, as you prepare for marriage. It will protect you from sin, from danger, from harm. I remember a guy in the Bible named Samson. The Bible is very clear about what Samson's purpose in life was. As a matter of fact, before he was ever even born, an angel told his parents that Samson's purpose in life was that he would begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So he had a great purpose in life. And Samson was a great man. As a matter of fact, not only was he a mighty warrior, he became one of the judges in Israel. Now, this was a time before Israel had kings. This is before King David and King Saul and all of those men. This was a time when the nation of Israel was guided by these judges. So he's a great man, had a great purpose. And his number one purpose was to deliver God's people and protect God's people from the enemies of God, the Philistines. So that was his purpose. Somebody tell me what Samson's potential was for getting that job done. What was his potential? What was it, buddy? His strength. God gave him a supernatural strength. I mean, incredible. He was. We got superheroes this week. I don't know that there's ever been a superhero like Samson, because he wasn't fictitious like Thor and Iron Man and Hulk. And some of you guys are like, what? That's fiction? And but he was. This is somebody who actually lived. The Bible tells us that at one time he took as his weapon the jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 trained warriors. Now, folks, that is what you call one bad mamba jamba right there. I mean, can you imagine going up against 1,000 men, maybe with a minigun or a 50 cal on top of a Hummer? Maybe your chances are okay there, but the jawbone of a donkey? 1,000 men. So he had this great purpose in his life. God gave him this great potential for getting that job done. But Samson had a weakness. And what was Samson's weakness? He did not live by what? Principle. And so his parents would warn him again and again and again and again, don't date those kind of women. Don't hang around that crowd of people. Don't go there. Don't do that. But he never listened. Now, Samson lived under a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite vow meant that he was not allowed to drink juice. He was supposed to be set apart for holy service. He was not allowed to even eat grapes, raisins, anything that grew on a vine. The Bible tells us one day that he was in a vineyard and had to fight a lion. So that makes me scratch my head and wonder, if he was under a Nazarite vow, what was he doing in a vineyard? What was he doing in a vineyard? You know why people have to fight lions in their life? You know why you're facing lions right now, young person? Because the way that you've chosen to go, you have got to live by principle. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. And Delilah found the secret of his strength. And they took Samson and they captured him. After that potential, that strength had gone away from him, and the spirit, the power of God had been lifted from his life, they captured him, they took hot irons, and they burnt his eyeballs out of their sockets. They made him work and grind at the mill like a mule or an animal would have to do. Samson's life ended in suicide. Now, did Samson have a great purpose for his life? Yes, he did. Did God give him the spiritual gift, the spiritual ability, the potential for fulfilling that purpose? Yes, he did. But he wasted all of that Because he refused to live by principles. Principles. And so really, the statement that prophesied his life before he was born best sums up Samson's life. And that statement says this, that he shall begin to deliver God's people out of the hands of the Philistines. You know, really the only thing that we can say about Samson today is that Samson only began to do what God intended for his life to do. He only began to fulfill that purpose. He didn't finish because he didn't live by principle. And you know, there's a lot of young men that I've met, and I thank God for guys like this right here, who, man, I remember coming to camp and making decisions as teenagers. I remember him and his brother coming to camp, and they'd lost their parents. Imagine trying to make right decisions going through a storm like that. You talk about a reason to get bitter at God. Yeah. Well, they made some decisions. They listened to a preacher. They listened to a youth pastor. They started living by some principles. And man, that's carrying them through Bible college. And these guys are got their eyes set on ministry and marrying right and keeping their life right and giving God the glory. But you want to know how many young people I know that the only thing you can say about their life is they only began to serve God. Boy, I've known a lot of hotshot preacher boys in my life. I mean, they get up behind this pulpit, they can make you laugh, they can make you cry, they can preach the house of fire. But this one fell off into sin here. This one married or dated worldly girls. And this one got around the wrong crowd. And this one got bitter. And this one that. And the only thing that you can say about their life is the only thing they did was begin to serve God. You know what will keep you serving God long term? It will help you marry right. You want to know what will help you raise good kids? You want to know what will give you a happy life? Living by principles. So let's talk about some principles here and we'll be through. I think every young person ought to set some principles in their life, how they're going to live. Now, some of you are going to get to an age where you're going to start dating and courting and all of that kind of stuff. It's over there, Randy, how old should I be before I start dating? Everybody always wants to know that question. All right, here you go. Here's two answers to that question. Number one, when your parents and your preacher think you're ready. Can I get an amen anywhere in the house? And number two, when you have made a vow to God and made it publicly known that you intend to keep your life and your body pure all the way to the marriage altar. If you do not have those two things decided in your mind, you don't have any business dating anybody. I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 93 years old. You got to live by principles. By principles. I remember me and my wife, when we first started courting, she came and worked at our camp, and she lived in Dallas, Texas. I lived in West Union, West Virginia, and we knew it was going to be a long-distance relationship, 1,200 miles in between us. And we decided that we were going to write and keep in contact and call each other and all of that kind of stuff, and we had this long-distance relationship for about 3 years before we ended up getting married. But I remember on the very first time that we were able to go out with our parents on a meal together, we came back and we're sitting on the front porch, and I had this discussion with her. God was already working in my life as a preacher. By this time that we started dating, I had already had my first tent revival, and I was already preaching revival meetings in evangelism, even though I was a young man. And I sat down with her and I told her this. I said, listen, God's plan for my life, God's called me to be a preacher. That is my purpose in life. And I don't want anything to hinder me from doing God's will for my life. And so this is what I told her. You ask my wife if you see her tonight. I said, if there ever comes a time in this relationship that what we do no longer pleases God, no longer honors God, no longer puts God in first place, I want you to know that I'm going to break it up. And you know what? We made that decision on the very first date. You say, man, that's pretty heavy. It is heavy. You know why? And I thank God that I dated a young lady that honored that, that protected her testimony because she knew someday we'd be married and we'd both have to share each other's testimony. She protected her testimony. She protected my testimony. And I thank God that when we got married, as those back doors opened and she walked down that center aisle at her church and was married, I thank God she wore a white dress, honestly, knowing that she was pure all the way to the marriage altar. But you know how that happened? It happened by living by principle. Because there are going to be times you're going to be tempted. So you have to decide, you know what? I'm going to make a decision that I'm never going to be alone with somebody of the opposite gender. You say, Brother Randy, you don't trust us? No, I don't trust anybody. I wouldn't trust King David alone with another woman or my wife, so why would I trust anybody else? And David was one of the greatest men that ever lived. But he was human, and you're human. Oh, Brother Randy, sometimes my boyfriend comes over and we do homework together with my door shut in my bedroom. We're just doing homework. You're a liar, man. You're a liar. You think it's funny, but you're going to mess up your life. You're going to mess up your life. You say, Brother Randy, my parents don't have any rules for me. Well, then you make some rules for you. And you, if you don't know what rules to make, you go sit down and talk to your youth pastor and your preacher and let them make some rules for you. And you trust that authority in your life. You better make some decisions. And you ought to come up to this altar this morning and you ought to grab one of these cards and say, you know what? I'm going to put my name right here and I'm going to make it known. I intend to keep myself pure till marriage. That's an honorable decision. You say, Brother Randy, I've already messed up. I've already done some things I regret. Well, you know what? Decide from this day forward, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. Make decisions. I'm not going to put a cigarette to my lips. Make a decision. I'm not going to drink alcohol. Make a decision. I'm going to have godly friends. Make a decision. I'm giving up my rock music. I'm giving up my country music. I'm giving up my rap music. I'm giving up my pornography. I'm giving up my my video games that are full of cursing and sexual content. You say, why should we do all of that? Because those decisions will be what shape your life and shape your future. You say, Brother Randy, I feel like God wants me in full-time service. Well, surrender to it and make it known so people can encourage you and people can help you along the way. First word is what? Purpose. What does purpose mean? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Why did God create me? Second word is what? Potential. Potential are those gifts, those spiritual gifts, those natural talents that God has given you so you can fulfill your purpose in life. And third word is what? Principle. And what is principle? Principles, those guardrails along those cliffs and along those highways and those hedges that'll keep you on the road heading towards your purpose, reaching your potential. Decisions. Decisions. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking this morning.